Today on week 5 of the 5 weeks of Halloween, we go over stories of trick-or-treating, and most of the stories don't turn out well. More coming up for you on the 5th week of the 5 weeks of Halloween. Stay tuned, spooky listeners.
Listen if you dare, as we unfold stories of unexplained happenings and phenomena. Write in at unexpectedhauntings739@gmail.com. This is where the unexpected and ghost stories are brought into reality. This is Unexpected Hauntings.
That's right, everyone, and welcome back to the 5 weeks of Halloween. This is the 5th week, so that you know what that means. Today is Halloween, and just so excited about Halloween this year. It's just got a different feel behind it. These couple of past Halloweens have just been kind of eh, but I don't know. I just have a different feeling about this year for Halloween. It's going to be a lot different with COVID-19, but we can still have fun. You know, I normally just stay inside and watch Halloween movies anyways. So it won't be that different. I'm going to be actually traveling off into Jasper County up in the mountains. Going to be staying out in a cabin. So that'll be fun. But yeah, let us know what you guys are going to be doing for Halloween. That would be really cool. We can start up a questionnaire. I can see if I can figure out how to do that on Facebook. We've got our Facebook page up. If you guys are new listening to us, welcome to Unexpected Hauntings. We love newcomers, and if you guys are interested in the paranormal and ghost stories, this is the place. Of course, the episode for today is about trick-or-treating, so it won't be about the ghosts or paranormal or anything like that, but it'll be mostly about trick-or-treating, because what better time to talk about trick-or-treating than Halloween? So it's going to be just creepy stories about just being on your safeguard for that trick-or-treating, and what to look out for predators, so to speak. Because there are some people out there that are creepy, and, you know, you don't want any part of that. So, we got a pretty cool story about a guy that acts like Michael Myers that stalks these two girls. Also, this potential child molester that likes to take pictures of kids and gets them to sign their name behind their picture. Just different stuff like that on today's episode. So it's very interesting. So let us know what you guys think about that, and write to us at unexpectedhauntings739@gmail.com. And we love to do it. So if you guys have any input, this is going to be very different. So if you guys have any input, write into that email or write to us on our Facebook page, Unexpected Hauntings. And I'm going to do a live video of answering those questions. This will be very different, but I think it'll be kind of cool because it'll get you guys involved. And I think it'll be good for everyone, for the channel. And that way everyone can basically see what your questions are, and I can answer it the best I can. I think that would be really fun. And I'll be doing the live video on Facebook, the Facebook page. So we've got definitely a wide view of people on the Facebook page, so that's why I'm doing it on there. Instagram and Reddit is I'm not so busy on there as I am on Facebook. So again, follow us on Facebook, Unexpected Hauntings, on there. But anyways, I'm going to stop rambling on. Today's episode will be a little shorter. It won't be an hour. It'll probably be around 30 to 40 minutes. But, you know, you don't really want a super long episode on Halloween because you just want to just hear the beef of the stories and go on with your life on Halloween, I'm sure, because it's a busy day. I don't know about you guys, but it's a pretty busy day for me because, you know, going out, I love to go to shops, Halloween shops, and getting pumpkins and all that stuff. So, I hope that you guys are having a fun and safe Halloween so far. And we're going to go into the first story. And this is about being stalked while trick-or-treating. This was the one that has the Michael Myers look-alike in it. And I think that you guys will enjoy it. So here we go, guys. This story is entitled, Stalked While Trick-or-Treating. On Halloween night, back when I was in 8th grade, I'm 27 now, my friend Kayla and I were giddy with excitement, messing around and getting dressed up in our costumes. I'm not going to say what we were for that Halloween, it's too cringy. Anyway, this night was a special night for us girls because this was going to be the last year for us to go trick-or-treating. We thought that once we became freshmen in high school, trick-or-treating would be too childish for the new cool high school students to be participating in. So we were going all out, especially with the amount of candy, grabbing pillowcases that we planned to fill entirely. We practically skipped out my front door ready to begin, in our opinion, the greatest night and holiday of the year. We didn't waste any time going door to door, street after street, that we didn't even realize that hours had passed. Back during this time, the trick-or-treating time was a hell of a lot longer than the 2 or 3 hours it is now. Back then, it just ended when the kids decided to end it. I can remember one year my sister Kayla and I stayed out to almost 11 p.m., most of the houses would have already stopped answering their doors, but there was always a few houses still willing to pass out candy. I didn't even think to look at the time until I noticed that there was less and less kids each street we came to. So when I looked at my phone, I said, Kayla, holy shit, it's 9:30. We should probably get back to my house. We can watch a movie and stuff ourselves with this, proudly lifting up my pillowcase that was at least more than halfway full. We slowly start walking back towards my house, and as we are passing each street, we noticed how eerily quiet it had gotten, seemingly out of nowhere. People were turning off their porch lights, signaling they were not going to be passing out any more candy. Now, I was a paranoid person back then, and I'm still a paranoid person to this day, probably even more so now. So when I got that feeling, that chill that runs up your back and your shoulders tense up, something is off, I thought to myself. I look side to side and get an urge to look behind me. I slowly turned my head around, looking over my shoulder, and what I saw nearly made me piss myself. About 4 houses down from us was Michael Myers, or someone dressed up as Michael Myers, I should say, who was slowly walking behind us. But to me at that time, it might as well be the real Michael Myers. He stopped staring back at me, not moving any muscle, just staring. Now, this would be creepy to anyone, but this was entirely my worst fucking nightmare. My number one childhood fear just so happens to be Michael Myers. A little backstory, when I was about 4, my mom was busy cleaning the kitchen as I sat in the living room playing with my toys with the TV going on in the background. The creepy music had caught my attention, so I started glancing up at the movie while playing with my toys. I grew less and less interested in my toys and had my eyes glued to the TV already, starting to grow nervous and scared by just the music alone. You know the part of the movie where Michael Myers pops out of the closet, grabbing a hold of the victim and lifting him up in the air against the wall, as his victim desperately tries to break free but is paralyzed with fear? And then Michael Myers pulls back the knife and brutally stabs the guy to the wall, pinning him to the wall and in the air. Well, my 4-year-old self had never seen something so gruesome and altogether just absolutely terrifying. And at that age, I believe it was real. In my 4-year-old mind, this was really happening to someone. My eyes bulged out of my head and instantly breaking out into tears, literally screaming my head off. His mask, the brutality, seeing someone being stabbed in his heinous murder. It blew my mind, and all at once I felt so anxious, scared, sad, just panicking. My mom comes rushing over frantically trying to figure out what's wrong, scooping me up in her arms, and I was still screaming and pointed at the TV. By then the movie continued to the part where Michael Myers is dressed up with the sheet over his body, with the glasses on over the sheet that he had stole off the body of the victim, obviously pretending to be the guy he just murdered. The sheet freaked me out even more than Michael Myers' mask, watching the masked killer walking slowly closer and closer up behind the girl on the phone, and I clung to my mom, sobbing and burying my face in her shoulder. She looked over the TV saying, "Oh my God, how the hell did this get on?" "It's okay, shh, shh. It's okay, honey, you're okay," trying to soothe me as she turned the channel off. I cried for at least an hour more, just absolutely traumatized. After that incident, I couldn't sleep at all, especially alone in my bed, and absolutely could not stand the dark. I knocked on my parents' bedroom door for months, begging them to let me sleep in their bed with them, or I swear, in my head, I was convinced he was going to come down the dark hallway silently, creeping into my room, and stab me in my sleep. I did not get over my fear of Michael Myers until I was in my early 20s. So being in 8th grade, walking down a dark street, no one around me, just Kay and I, and seeing my absolute worst fucking nightmare walking slowly behind us, I swear I thought I was going to pass out. I looked over at Kayla, my voice trembling, and whispered, "There's someone following us. He's dressed up as Michael Myers, about 4 houses down. Pick up the pace, but do not start running." Kayla turned, looking silently over her shoulder, and snapped her head back forward. "What the hell? That's so creepy." "Well, we got 2 blocks to go. We'll see if he follows us when we turn." I nod, a million thoughts going through my head. Maybe I'm overreacting. It is Halloween after all. But why is he alone and to follow 2 young girls? When we get to my street, I glanced behind me and I swear my heart stopped at that moment. He wasn't behind us anymore. I panicked, darting my eyes around me. "Oh my God, where did he go? He's gone." Kayla turns around, stopping in her tracks, squinting her eyes, trying to scan the area. Maybe he had turned down a different street. "He probably wasn't even following us to begin with," she said as she spun back around, heading down the street again. And then I spotted him. He stepped out from behind a tree, but now he was only 2 houses away. He started walking towards us, gaining on us as I stood from frozen in fear. I screamed, "Go!" Kayla whipped around. "Holy shit! Oh my God, oh my God!" We shrieked as we started sprinting the rest of the way. But then I but then I fell, my legs starting to wobble. Oh God, please no. This can't be real. It just can't be. I thought to myself, somewhat in denial, that this was actually happening. Could this really be happening? In that moment, I knew I had one goal, and that was to make it through my front door. We sprinted up my driveway, both of us practically crashing into my front door, frantically turning the doorknob, and then my heart dropped. The door was locked. I'm pounding and pounding on the door, screaming for somebody to please hurry and open the door. I look behind me, and there he is, stepping onto the driveway, still heading straight for us. Where is everyone? Please, Mom, help us. I glance back behind me, and he's gone. I went silent, listening intently for any noise, when all of a sudden he slowly came around the side of the house, just a few feet away. This means he walked around the left side of my house, through my backyard, and came around the right side of my house. I screamed while practically falling through the door. My mom looked at us like we were insane, and I yelled, "Close the door!" Kayla slammed it shut and looks out the window. "Where is he? Where did he go?" Kayla said, running to look out the front living room windows. "Who? What are you talking about?" my mom said, looking at me completely confused. "Someone was following us. It was someone dressed as Michael Myers." "No, don't," I yelled as my mom opened the door and stepped outside, peering around the front yard. She stepped out to the driveway. I nervously watched out the screen door. She turned and yelled back to me, "Well, there's no one out here now. It may have just been someone messing with you." This thought did cross my mind. It is Halloween after all. But to think a grown man, I'm assuming, is walking around alone, messing with two young girls, stalking them for so long, is just extremely creepy. I have to say, since I'm older now and have seen the movies at least a million times, that stalker guy was 100% spot on with exactly how Michael is in the movies. The walking slowly but gaining on us so fast. At the same time, disappearing and popping up out of nowhere. Like I said, it may as well have been the real Michael Myers, but also the fact that this scenario was my number one childhood fear that I've had multiple nightmares about, and even though I'm much older now, reminiscing that night still gives me chills till this day. It's just, I can't help but wonder if it really was actually a prank gone too far, or if the person had more sinister intentions in store for us. So, what would you guys do in a situation like that? That's very creepy. And I would think if you saw something like that while trick-or-treating, it would scare the shit out of you too. And it's just like, in this story, it's just like, you know, Michael Myers popping out of the movie and actually chasing them. And, you know, it could have been a prank, like they said. But, you know, why do this to girls? Seriously, I mean, and you know, on a Halloween night, late at night, when the lights are turning off, you know, I mean, and that's just, you know, where the story starts to get a little creepy, of course, whenever the lights go out, because, you know, everyone's afraid of the dark. So, I know I definitely was, for sure, afraid of the dark, afraid of the basement, afraid of the attic. I think anyone's just afraid of the dark in general. So add that with a Michael Myers guy. I'm getting the hell out of there. So I don't blame these people, for sure, for doing that. But yeah, that is so cool. I think the writer in here is Jay Ricks. I think that's how you pronounce it. Thank you for that story. It's a true scary story called Stalked While Trick-or-Treating. And guys, let's just stay safe out there when you're trick-or-treating. You know, always just while you're out there, just, you know, be on the lookout for things like this, because this kind of stuff can actually definitely turn south real quick. And this person thankfully didn't get his or I guess hers hands on their victim, because thankfully they were able to get inside and go into safety. Because I was reading an article the other day, and it was talking about how many people actually get kidnapped. It's kind of scary how many people get kidnapped on Halloween. And it's just so real how people can just easily get kidnapped. So just stay safe out there, guys. And it'll all be good. You'll get all your candy. You'll go back home and have a good, well, trick-or-treating night, and can watch all the horror movies you want. So, with that being said, we're going to go into, it's called the Trick-or-Treating Story 2. There's some, a series of trick-or-treating stories for you guys. But, you know, these are just different stories I got for you guys for trick-or-treating. So, here we go, guys. And with the Trick-or-Treating Story 2. Hope that you guys enjoy. So this isn't just my scariest trick-or-treating story. This is the story of the scariest thing to have happened to me in my entire life. It's not some dumb story about ghosties or ghoulies or anything supernatural like that. It's something very real and very tangible that left me seriously messed up for a long, long time. My parents arranged counseling sessions for me to help me deal with it, and I can't say those didn't help a little bit. But what happened at Halloween night has stayed with me for my whole life, and every single year without fail. I think about it a little. Like a lot of suburban neighborhoods, here on the east coast of the U.S., Halloween decorations have become something of an art form. I remember when decorations used to be confined to just a pumpkin and maybe a few things pinned to a front door. But now, it's a whole different ball game, with lawns overflowing with orange-colored decor, even the occasional roof being covered in those fake spiderweb-type things. Things have gotten pretty intense, too. Last year, I saw how someone had actually dug up a patch of their own well-preened front lawn to make like a fake grave-type thing that had a skeletal hand sticking out of it. It's been that way for a few years now, and it's key to how my story even happened in the first place. So on the night in question, me and a friend of mine are wandering around our neighborhood in costume, collecting as much candy as could possibly carry. We come to this one particular house that's totally decked out in all kinds of Halloween-themed decorations. I mean, it was honestly pretty impressive how much effort the family had put into it, and if they were so into Halloween that they'd go to such lengths to decorate their home, there was a decent chance they'd be hella generous with giving out candy too. So me and my buddies start walking up their pathway, all slow, just admiring all the decor was as we went. Things got progressively spookier as we went, but nothing could compare to the scene we saw as we got close to the front door, and that buddy of mine spied through the front window of the house. Inside, the entire front room had been turned into a pure vision of hell. This family was indeed the most dedicated set of Halloween decorators we'd ever come across. It appeared they'd set up an actual sort of murder scene. The whole room was trashed, with ornaments strewn over the room, china plates smashed to smithereens, with pieces laying all over the carpet. There was blood everywhere, too, splashed all over the couch, along with bloody handprints on the walls. And in the middle of the room, laying on the carpet, was the most convincing-looking dead body I'd ever seen. The family had done a decent job of obscuring the mannequin, or whatever it was, by having it pretty much caked in blood and gore, soaked, torn up clothing. It was maybe a little much for Halloween, though. Like, I've always been something of a scary movie fan, but even I couldn't stomach it for very long. So I moved up to the front door and began ringing the doorbell. I rang once, then twice, but no one answered. And all the while, my buddy is just staring through the front window, white as a sheet. I try a third time, banging on the door extra loud just in case the doorbell happened to be broken or something, and still my buddy is just gawping through the front window. I remember him saying something like, "God, it just looks so real," before I finally walk over and start trying to drag him away from the window before he vomited or something. The homeowners would certainly not be giving us any candy if he went and made a big old throw-up mess on their property. Only right as I'm doing so, I happen to look through the window just in time to see one of the TV room doors opening. In walked a man who looked like he'd been crying, like a whole lot too, and in his hand were these big plastic trash bags. We're only peeking in from the edge of the window, so he didn't see us right away, and we watched as he walks over to the mannequin thing and kneels down beside it. He reaches out to touch the face of the thing, and that's when I see how he's got these rubber gloves on too, the kind you use for washing up. I get that he didn't want to get any of the corn syrup blood or whatever it was on his hands, and I start kind of wondering how he's going to get the stains out of the carpet. I mean, that's real dedication to ruin your own upholstery all in the name of Halloween decorations. That's when it hit me. We're not looking at Halloween decorations. The body lying on the carpet isn't a mannequin, and it's not corn syrup that's on the walls. It's real blood, a real body. We're not looking at a decorative setup, we're looking at an actual murder scene. My buddy just says one word, "Dude," loud enough for the guy inside to hear us. His head spins towards the window, these big, tear-stained eyes just focusing on the little spot we're peering in from, and the sad look in his eyes turns into one of pure shock and anger. We lock eyes for a moment, and I feel my heart rate go into overdrive, 1,000 terrified thoughts flashing in my mind all at once. Then the man is up on his feet again, storming out of the TV room and towards what I could only guess was the front door. Me and my buddy just sprint back down the path, running as fast as we can. We hear the front door open behind us. I looked back briefly to see the man, clothes soaked in blood, chasing us out into the dark street. He was bigger than us, faster than us, and had absolutely no intention of letting us get away to report what we'd seen. I can't even describe what kind of fear I felt, knowing it was only a matter of seconds before he caught up to us. And when he did, we would probably suffer the same fate as whoever it was lying on the carpet in his house. But as luck would have had it, the streets were still pretty busy with trick-or-treaters at the hour, and he must have realized that chasing a pair of kids still covered in blood, would arouse way too much suspicion. Even if it was Halloween, the people might mistake the real blood for fakery, just like we'd done in the first few minutes of peering through the front window. We ran and ran all the way back to my parents' house, where we begged them to call the police. At first, my parents figured that our imaginations had just gotten the better of us and dismissed our claims that we'd seen an actual murder scene as pure fantasy. In the end, my dad insisted on seeing the scene for himself before calling the cops out, and even if the idea of going back there sent me into fits of terror, he wouldn't take no for an answer. I had horrible visions of the bloodied man just sticking a shotgun through his front door and blowing my dad away so that there'd be no witnesses. And the whole walk around the murder house, I was absolutely terrified. But as we got closer, we started to see a bunch of blue flashing lights. It was only then that Dad actually took me seriously. And as we edged around the corner and saw a bunch of cop cars sitting outside the murder house, he realized I had been telling the truth. I figure someone who saw him chasing us briefly had the withal to call the police before us, and I thank God that they did, because I don't know if I'd even be writing this if we'd actually been able to walk back up the pathway and back towards the house. It was all over the papers for the next few days how this guy had stabbed his wife to death, and rumors went around that he'd found out she was cheating on him. But I never really got those confirmed or not, so only God knows what actually caused him to snap and murder her. Like I said, I had to have a great deal of therapy throughout my teenage years to help me get over what I saw that night, and or a long, long time I saw that body in my nightmares. And the worst of them, me and my buddy would be looking through the window, and the buddy would rise up into a sitting position before the woman screamed to us to help her, blood pouring from her cut mouth as she did so. And some others, the guy would catch us, drag us back into the house, then lay us on the carpet next to the body before taking a knife to us, one at a time. It took a while, but I got past it. Yet Halloween remains a time of year when I can't quite keep those memories out of my head. A time of year when others pretend to be haunted by ghosts or whatnot, whereas I'm actually haunted by the sight of that poor woman lying on the carpet covered in blood. All right. So in this story, I think it just proves you don't have to have ghosts or a paranormal experience, which we mostly talk about on this channel, of course, but it just goes to show you don't have to have those types of experiences to be scared, really. Because this was truly traumatizing. To look into a house and say, oh, that's just, you know, decorations. And you take a look at closer at the scene and realize, holy shit, that's a real body. And I'm glad that they were able to escape. That the trick-or-treaters actually kind of was like almost like a safe home for him. It was basically their butterfingers, so to speak, of that they couldn't be touched because they were around a whole bunch of other kids and families for trick-or-treating. So that was great and smart on their part to run into the crowd of trick-or-treaters. But yeah, be careful what house you go to for trick-or-treating. I guess that's what we could take away from this. Because, yeah, you never know what house you'll bump into, you know. And, you know, they saw all the cool decorations and they're like, oh, they got cool decorations. They must have candy, right? And I think that runs through everyone's head. They're like, oh, this is some dope-looking house with really cool decorations. Let's go see if we can get like a king size candy bar or something like that. I know that's probably what would be running through my head. But yeah, what a wild story. So it doesn't show the name on here, but it's from Let's Read YouTube. and that's a wild story. Really crazy story. So yeah, if you come across that, run as fast as you can. It didn't say that they called the police on their phone. They could have while they were running. I probably would have done that. Get away from there. Once you have gotten away, call on your phone. Call the cops. Because, yeah, that's pretty messed up stuff. I wouldn't have asked. It doesn't really show. I don't think it really said what age they were, but I was just going to say, if they had an access to a cell phone, I'll just call the damn police. Don't ask your parents. Just call the police. You know, if it's that important, do it yourself. That's just common sense to me. But anyways, we're going to go into the trick-or-treating story 4. We're going to skip 3. I can't find this trick-or-treating story 3. We're going to go into the trick-or-treating story 4. It's a little bit shorter, but I hope that you guys enjoy it. Here we go. I was about 14 years old when my family had just moved to a new town. I was also lucky enough to make a fast friend at my new school. And we were subsequently made plans to go trick-or-treating together since it was coming up to Halloween night. Because we were 14 and lived in a fairly safe neighborhood, my parents told us they didn't think I needed a chaperone this year. So while everything was going great and we were having fun getting some solid candy, it was kind of cool just walking around on our own, feeling sort of grown up. We call at one house, and this middle-aged man opened the door. He seemed happy to see my new friend and me, so I assumed we were in for some grade A candy. I don't actually remember what candy he handed out, but I do remember what happened next. He asked us to come inside, which is weird, but we really wanted candy, so I guess we were dumb enough to take the bait. He disappears for a moment, and I kind of assume he was going off to get us some candy. But when he reemerges, he doesn't have any, only a camera in his hand. Then he asked if he could take a picture of us, explaining that he liked to take photos of the kids every Halloween because he loved seeing the costumes, how he was something of a collector. At this point, even being a fairly naive 14-year-old, I got weirded out. Yet, it was best not to upset the man and let him take the picture and then we could leave. So he takes the photo of us, waits for the Polaroid to come out, and then hands us a pen, asking us to sign our names on the back. Me and my new friend did as we were told, but although we'd been dumb enough to actually go into this guy's house with him, we weren't dumb enough to sign our actual names. So we wrote fake ones on the back just to satisfy him. Only then were we allowed to leave with the candy he gave us after we signed. I don't know if the guy was an actual child molester or anything. There were no more run-ins with him, and nothing in the way of rumors going around town, but I still get creeped out thinking about what he did with that photo of me. So, child molester or not, that is the real question about this story. What do you guys think? If you'd like to put some insight into this story, write to us at unexpectedhaunting739@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your insight on this story. It's definitely a very peculiar story because definitely sounds like a predator, so to speak, because who takes pictures of kids for Halloween and makes them sign it? That is really messed up, I think, and creepy, super creepy. I mean, who the hell does that? I mean, all of these stories for today's episode have just been warnings about things to look out for trick-or-treating. So that's why I wanted to do this for the Halloween episode, because in this episode will actually be going out noon on Halloween, so y'all can actually have a little bit of a heads up if you're going out trick-or-treating, or if you're taking kids out trick-or-treating. Be on the lookout for people like this. There are some crazy people out there. And I know with COVID-19, everything's really different. A lot of people aren't participating in trick-or-treating. If not, you know, good for you. That's great. If so, if you are, then that's great too. You know, I mean, on both sides with COVID-19, I understand if you still want to go or if you want to stay home. I know a lot of people were like, you got to go out, it's Halloween. I mean, I understand that, but you also got to be safe as well. So if you do go out, be careful. You know, there's been known that they can actually hide some stuff in candy too. You know, with the myths and legend about them hiding razor blades in candy and all that stuff. And I never really found anything like that in candy as well. But better safe than sorry, right? So, whatever you do, don't let anyone lure you inside of their house. Because thankfully, these people, you know, didn't get the bad end of it. But if they lure you in their house, they could pretty much do anything. And that's what's the creepiest thing about it all is, you know, they let you in your house, they close the door, anything can happen. I think that's what really, to be honest, creeps me out the most is it's like you're in their world now once you get in the house. So stay outside, be safe, and collect as much candy as you want. And yeah, I think that's going to be it for the Halloween episode. I know it was super short, guys. I normally do an hour if I can. But that's usually whenever I have a visitor on here talking, because, you know, it just it's a little bit longer of an episode because you get inputs from two people instead of one. So, yeah. So thank you guys so much for joining us on the 5 weeks of Halloween. I had a blast. It was a lot of fun. There was some stuff that I didn't even know about that we were talking about for the 5 weeks of Halloween. So let me know if you guys really enjoyed it. And I'll do something like this for next Halloween or something even better. Who knows? So as Unexpected Hauntings grows, so do our numbers. So, and also we're going to be working on some new content as well for that. So be on the lookout for that. And we hope to hear from you guys soon. Subscribe to our Apple Podcast and follow us on Spotify. And don't forget to write us a review of what you guys think about this Ghost podcast channel. Thank you guys so much. We love you guys for listening to us. And stay safe and stay spooky. Happy Halloween, everyone. Talk to you guys later.